This is week four in our sermon series that we've called Growing Up. And as you can see there, the name of this time that we're getting together is Follow the Leader. We've been looking at the book of Ephesians, in which the Apostle Paul is telling us that we are to grow up in Christ. As I've said, I think every week in this series, at times the church is really good about talking about being born again, but you can't stay a baby forever. And we want to continue to grow up and to grow in our faith and in our maturity in Christ. When we started this series, the first Sunday when we got together, we talked about how the book of Ephesians tells us that we are to live a life that's worthy of our calling. And we talked about that word axios, the word worthy, that really talks about balance. And our calling and our life are supposed to be in balance. In other words, what we believe and how we live are supposed to be in balance. And how we live is supposed to be in balance with how we believe. There's that axios, that balance that's needed in our lives. And as we saw, the book of Ephesians not only tells us that, but it models that. If you look at chapters 1 through 3, one of the things you'll find is it talks a lot about God. It talks a lot about belief. It talks a lot about how big God is, how big Jesus is, and our relationship with God and Jesus. And so we get that whole, you know, belief part. Later in 4, 5, and 6, we're going to see that primarily those verses, while they still talk about belief, but primarily they talk about how you live your day-to-day living. And for those of you who are still waiting for the marriage thing, it's coming. Not today, but it's coming. And it goes even to marriage and children and work and our day-to-day lives and how we can be the people of faith that God's calling us to be in the ordinary stuff. It's right faith and right living. Today, we're coming to this passage where we're going to look at the end of chapter 3 and the beginning of chapter 4. And so we're right in the transition. We're right in that place between the belief part and the practice part. And we find ourselves there. Paul, in the very first part of chapter 3, talks about his own calling to bring the message of Jesus to a unified church. 2 weeks ago, we talked about how we find out who we are by finding out who we are in Christ. And last week, we talked about our hometown. You know, we find ourselves right here in this church. That this is the place that God has put us to do life together. And then the Apostle Paul talks about how we need to be one church. Not a Jewish Christian church and a Gentile Christian church, but he wants us to be one church. And 2,000 years later, we're not doing a very good job of that. We still bicker a lot. But he calls us to be just one church. And then in verse 14 of chapter 3, Paul begins to pray. And in the prayer, he summarizes what's gone on before, but he just simply offers a prayer. And I read you, this is chapter 3, beginning with verse 14. It says this: "My response is to get down on my knees before the Father, this magnificent Father who parcels out all heaven and earth. I ask him to strengthen you by his Spirit, not a brute strength, but a glorious inner strength, that Christ will live in you as you open the door and invite him in. And I ask him that with both feet planted firmly on love," remember we talked about having our place in this world, "with both feet planted firmly in love, you'll be able to take in with all followers of Jesus the extravagant dimensions of Christ's love. Reach out and experience the breadth, test its length, plumb the depths, rise to the heights, live full lives, full in the fullness of God." And he concludes his prayer this way: "God can do anything, you know, far more than you could ever imagine or guess or request in your wildest dreams. He does it, not by pushing us around, but by working within us, his Spirit deeply and gently within us. Glory to God in the church. Glory to God in the Messiah, in Jesus. Glory down all the generations. Glory through all millennia. Oh, yes." In most translations, that's amen. But I like that. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Glory to God. Oh, yeah. What a wonderful way to just celebrate what God is doing. And did you hear that line? God doesn't push you around. He asks for you to invite him in. In chapter 4, Paul picks up on that theme of following Jesus, of following a path. And he writes this in 4:1. He says, I'm locked up here, a prisoner for the master, and I want you to get out there and walk, better yet run, on the road God called you to travel. That's a common theme in the New Testament, that our life of faith is a journey. It's a road to follow. Paul oftentimes uses this Greek word, it's peripateo. It just means walk around. But he uses it for faith. Walk around in your faith. Walk this journey. Know that God is with you, and walk with God in your day-to-day living. You know, in the book of Acts, the early church, followers of Jesus aren't called Christians. They're called followers of the way. We still use that image quite a bit, don't we? We talk about being followers of Jesus, or we're following in Jesus' footsteps. And so I thought it would be fun to kind of call our message today, Follow the Leader. Remember Follow the Leader? It's a fun, silly childhood game. You know, you get to do all kinds of crazy things and just do whatever the leader is telling you to do. But did any of you have the mean kid in the neighborhood who didn't like people following him but always wanted to be in the lead? I had that kid in the neighborhood. He always did things that were too dangerous and none of us wanted to do. Or he was really athletic and so he did things that we just simply couldn't do. He was a horrible leader, but he always wanted to be the leader we were all supposed to follow. And my concern is that that's how we sometimes see Jesus. That leader who's out there somewhere, who's incredibly hard to follow. Who can be Jesus? I mean, he was God. We can't do that. Well, maybe Mother Teresa can, but I can't. Or maybe my friend can do some of that stuff, but I can't. He's out there. And calling us to follow on this difficult path. But is that really the follow the leader that Paul's talking about? Did you hear that passage of scripture that we read earlier from chapter 4? It says this later on. He talks about handing out gifts so that we can grow. And then he says this, until we're all moving rhythmically and easily with each other. Efficient. And graceful. Later on, just a couple of sentences later, he says, we take our lead from Christ, who is the source of everything we do. He keeps us in step with each other. What image comes to mind? Anybody? For me, it's a dance. That's a different kind of leading it, isn't it? Is that a leader out there somewhere who's hard to follow, saying kind of, catch me if you can? Instead, it's Jesus who grabs us and pulls us close and leads us in a dance. Is that the way that Jesus leads us? I believe he leads us in a dance. Not a path that's hard to get down, but simply to dance. And I don't know about you, but I'm not a good dancer. Surprise, surprise. I'm not a good dancer. And it's not because I don't think it's a rhythm thing. My rhythm's not horrible. It's a self-conscious thing. I want to make sure I'm doing it right. And I want to make sure I look good doing it. And the more I do that, the worse it gets. People who dance just dance. Does anybody watch Dancing with the Stars? Right? And there's that one group that dances really good. And then there's that other group that if you watch them really closely, you can read their lips and they're going, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. Because they're trying really, really hard to do it right. And the others, they just let the leader lead and they dance. They let the leader just grab them close and they dance. Eugene Peterson, in this book, Practice Resurrection, that we've been using as a guide, tells this story that I just really enjoy. He had moved to Pittsburgh with his family. He and his wife, his kids were grown by then, but he and his wife moved to Pittsburgh. They were only going to live there for a year. And so they wanted to acclimate themselves really quickly. And one of the things they decided that they would do is every day at noon, they took a walk to a park that was about a mile from their house, and they walked around the lake in the park. Getting to know, that's not necessarily them, I just picked a picture, but gives you an image of what's going on, right? They're walking around the lake in the park. And one day on their way to the park, well, he writes this. He says that a bicyclist passed them from behind and stopped and waited for them to get up to them. And then he says, without introduction or preface, the bicyclist asked, "How long have you been married?" We were startled by the out-of-the-blue abruptness, but managed a puzzled but courteous 33 years. "I knew it," he said. "Do you realize that you walk in perfect step with one another? I mean absolutely synchronized perfect. My wife and I have been married 5 years and we haven't gotten it down yet. We're always just microseconds off." That was it. He was back on his bicycle and on his way. We resumed our walk, pleased with ourselves that across 33 years of marriage, we had mastered this miracle of walking together in perfect rhythm. We had no idea that we had achieved something in our marriage that could stop a bicyclist in his tracks. This required comment and further conversation. But the moment we became self-conscious about it, we couldn't do it. We felt clumsy, uncoordinated, and the harder we tried our marital rhythm, the worse it got. Eventually, we quit and just went back to walking. Is that the way it is with our faith at times? We try so darn hard to do it right. And really, God's just calling us to dance. Let me lead and dance with me. That video clip that we showed of rhythm, I like the way it ends. Rob Bell, the guy in the balcony, he says, "May you come to see that the song is written on your heart. And as you live in tune with the song, in tune with the creator of the universe, may you realize that you are in relationship with the living God." And may I add this morning, and go dance, allowing Jesus to lead. Let's pray together. God, we just thank you so much for the gift of your Son who leads us, guides us, and directs us. Not in a way that is necessarily hard and difficult for us to follow, although it's not always easy. But that he just draws us close and asks us to let him lead us in an amazing dance. God, take away all the self-consciousness in our hearts and in our lives. Take away all of those things that just make us want to do it right. And just let us dance with you today. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Jesus.